Good morning, everybody. Brian Newbert here again from goldenblack.com, live in the old home office. It is Tuesday, May 12th. This is your goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast for today. This is our daily little Purdue conversation. We're posting on a variety of platforms to hopefully help you pass the time if you have time that needs to be passed, maybe provide you a little bit of normalcy, a little bit of entertainment, certainly not joy, anything but joy. We've been doing this throughout our collective quarantine here. Have to get creative a little bit. Otherwise, we're going to have to go into reruns here later this week. But we're doing the best we can here to come up with a daily topic worth your time, my time, whoever's time. This is brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. I want to remind you once again, the East End Grill in Lafayette, 6th Street Dive in Lafayette, as well as our friends at Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn, all remain open for carryout orders. They would love to hear from you. Please do not call Purdue Federal Credit Union asking for food, or the First Source Bank, or the Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. They have no food. If you need financial services, or if you need a house, call any of those institutions. But please don't call them and order food. There's no food there. You're going to have to go to East End Grill, 6th Street Dive, Arnie's, Bruno's, or the Whitaker Inn for food. And please do. It's great food. Yesterday, we did a video kind of talking about Purdue basketball's freshmen and the impact they may have. Jaden Ivey, Zach Edey, and Ethan Morton. To bring a little bit of symmetry to things, to bring a little bit of balance to the universe, I figured it would be worthwhile then to do one on football. Obviously, Purdue under Jeff Brohm has a nice little run of impact freshmen going here, and this season could profile for much of the same. So I figured I would just hit the play button here and just talk about freshmen for 10 to 12 to 15 to 100 minutes. So that's what we'll do. Obviously, you know, Purdue has had some really, really high impact freshmen the past couple of years, which is a reflection of the job Jeff Brohm and his staff have done in recruiting, their ability to attract a higher caliber of athlete, but also a more physically ready sort of athlete. And I think this year's or last year's recruiting class really reflected that. It probably reflected it a little bit more than Purdue would have liked because the injuries that obviously derailed Purdue's season were largely the reason that freshmen had to account for a huge percentage of Purdue's collective productivity last season. The true freshman touchdown streak, wherever it ended, was a pretty remarkable thing, especially considering how many of those guys were true freshmen. Whether or not freshmen are going to have the sort of impact this season they had last season, you would hope not, because when you recruit at a high level, the thing about that is when freshmen come in and become really good players right away, they become sophomores. So the freshmen who come in behind them have to be better than them, or something has to happen to the sophomores. In a perfect world for Purdue, last season's injury debacle is out of its system, and next year's freshmen will become this year's sophomores, and they will go from very good right away to really good in their second year. And opportunity simply won't be there this season the way it was last season. That being said, there are positions Purdue is still not up to snuff on from a personnel perspective where there are opportunities for people to step in and play right away. Linebacker comes to mind. The offensive line comes to mind every year for the last 20 or so. Some positions are easier or more manageable for impact newcomers to come in and play right away. The offensive line certainly is not one of them. But I don't know if the opportunity is going to be there, first of all, for freshmen, the way it's been the past couple of years when Purdue was in this ascent in terms of upgrading its talent level, to the point now where, you know, there should be, you know, a decent athlete on average across the board, in addition to one with experience now, having played so many young guys the past couple of years. That being said, there are opportunities and there are players coming in who seem to fit the mold of guys who might be able to come in and really help Purdue right away. To run through some of those guys real quick, 2 years ago, Rondell Moore was a freshman All-American. Last year, David Bell, may as well have been a freshman All-American if he wasn't. I can't remember what exact honors he won. But those two guys were unbelievable in their freshman years. Purdue has a nice little thing going here of a freshman coming in and being awesome right away. Whether or not that can happen again this year, I don't know. There is the practicality of the fact that there is only one football. So if you have one freshman All-American who's now a junior and another freshman All-American who's now a sophomore, and those guys are on the field, is there room for a third player to emerge as that level of player right away? That I don't have the answer to. They do have a couple of players who I think really profile as close to being that level of recruit that Rondale Moore and David Bell were, and that's obviously Malik Carr, probably the most decorated player in this recruiting class, and a very different sort of wide receiver from what Purdue has and what is used to having, what most anyone is used to having. Malik Carr is 6 foot four, 6 foot five, whatever it may be. When I saw him playing basketball around this year, this time a year ago, he was 240 pounds. What he weighs right now, I don't know, but he is massive. He is, he takes exception to people talking about him as a tight end, but he is a tight end body type who can play wide receiver. He is dead set on proving himself as an every down sort of wide receiver. I wouldn't doubt him, but I'm only bringing up the tight end thing to illustrate what sort of body he has. He has a big, hulking, sort of imposing frame that with it he has shown he has enough athleticism to really be good on his feet, to really have good body control, and really, really have the potential to be a really high-level wide receiver at Purdue. And one of a kind on this roster, one of a kind on damn near any roster. How many people have a 235-pound wide receiver who they can throw the ball to opposite some guys who are going to command a hell of a lot of attention? Malik Carr is a really, really interesting prospect. And again, I say this about a lot of the receivers Purdue has recruited. If you took them most any other year, they would stick out like a sore thumb. You would look at them and say, that's the guy right there. But on this roster, with what Purdue has done at wide receiver, you have just studs on top of studs here, and things, a guy doesn't look, stand out as much because of what he's surrounded by from a talent perspective. Purdue has Colin Sullivan coming in too from Texas, who, here's another guy that if this wasn't David Bell, Rondale Moore, Malik Carr level talent around him, this guy's the man probably right away. He had a really, really unbelievable year as a senior in Texas, in Austin. High school football in Austin, in Texas in general, is not for the meek. It is not for the faint of heart. It is de facto college football in a lot of places. And Colin Sullivan dominated. And I can't believe the University of Texas had him in their backyard and they didn't recruit him. That boggles my mind, because what I've seen on film, what I've heard about him, what I've seen from him from a productivity perspective, he is really, really good. And he's another guy who could be physically equipped enough to come in and really help Purdue right away. Abdul Rahman Yassin, who Purdue added at the last second to its recruiting class, is a four-star recruit, a really high-level recruit himself, who is committed to Northwestern forever. I don't know, with Rondale Moore as Purdue's slot receiver with Jackson Anthrop back, I'm assuming he would be a slot receiver because of his body type. I might be mistaken on that. I don't know. Ahmad Anderson is the same sort of body type, and he's obviously not a slot receiver all the time anyway. I just think Carr and Sullivan might have more of a physical advantage on Yassin, on top of the advantage of Rondale Moore not playing their position. So I think Carr and Sullivan might have a bit more readiness to them, a bit more opportunity right away. I don't know that for a fact, but obviously those are three really high level wide receiver recruits. I'm not mentioning Marcellus Moore because I think he's probably obviously not going to spring ball because he did track. Not that there was a lot of spring ball. I think he's a little bit rough around the edges as a player too. I think he's probably a guy you work with. see what you have in his elite speed, see what you can make of it from there on out. But, you know, wide receiver is not the position where Purdue needs somebody to come in and make an instant impact right away. Purdue is just fine with what it has at wide receiver. I just mention it because the most talented guys, again, are wide receivers. In terms of other guys around the true freshman class, Tyreek Murphy is a guy Purdue recruited at running back, figuring he might have an opportunity to come in and be their guy right away. He was the guy they sort of handpicked, the guy they wanted, the priority. And, you know, Purdue has King Daru coming back. He's going to be a really good player. Xander Horvath did some really positive things last season. He's back for a couple years. Tyreek Murphy is a guy who might step right into a role in Purdue's backfield as well. And I think in a perfect world, you know, King Daru becomes the player he looked like he was going to become during his true freshman season. Tyreek Murphy lives up to every reason Purdue wanted to recruit him, wanted him so badly in recruiting. Xander Horvath comes back with the Indiana game being his reality as opposed to his outlier, and you have three really good running backs there, and then you see or three productive running backs there to choose from, maybe go situational, maybe keep guys fresh, whatever it may be. Dejon Hewitt, too, is a redshirt freshman who will be in that mix as well. But Tyreek Murphy will have every chance, I think, to cram himself into that rotation in the backfield as well. A big physical kid who seems like a college-ready sort of player. Sanusi Kane, I think, is a guy that probably isn't a headliner for this class necessarily in terms of the biggest star, the biggest name, but I think he really looked the part in the spring. I think versatility in the secondary is a huge deal, and I think he's kind of viewed as that sort of Simeon Smiley sort of player where he can be a safety, he can be a nickel, he can cover like a corner. He was here in the spring. He's got a good body. He's really smart. He's a great kid. I think he'll listen. I think he's the proverbial sleeper in this class to be a guy who really helps Purdue right away. Versatility on defense cannot be, the importance of it cannot be understated, overstated. I understated the overstatedness of that. You know, you don't always want to play freshman defensive linemen. They're not all George Karloftis or Lorenzo Neal, two guys Purdue happened to play as true freshmen who were very productive in those roles. Obviously, George Karloftis much more than Lorenzo Neal 4 years ago, but it just came to mind that Lorenzo Neal did play as a true freshman, too. That's not the ideal scenario all the time, unless you have a really supreme talent like Karloftis or a physical force like Lorenzo Neal. Bryce Austin and Greg Hudgens are guys who, if Purdue, you know, if opportunity presents itself on that defensive line, and we don't really know what that defensive line looks like necessarily because Purdue is trying to do something different in terms of its ability to flip between 3-4 and probably 4-3. There could be opportunity there. Branson Dean, I think, projects as a redshirt freshman as one of Purdue's tentative starters on that defensive line in a 3-4. If Purdue, you know, stays in that sort of alignment, then, you know, Branson Dean is a relatively unproven player still. There, it would seem like there might be an opportunity there for a Greg Hudgens or another defensive end to come in and potentially contribute right away. Again, you'd like to work with those guys. You'd like to give them time in the weight room. You'd like to give them time to develop, but opportunity would seem to be there. Greg Hudgens is a physically mature kid, I think. I've never seen him in person, but also he's a very highly regarded recruit for whatever that is worth. I know Bryce Austin is a pretty physically stout sort of guy who, under a lot of circumstances, if you had to rush a freshman to the field, he might be a guy you're comfortable doing that with from a physical readiness perspective. But with Lorenzo Neal and Anthony Watts back, and me not being entirely sure what Purdue is asking of each position, what it's looking at each position, I can only suggest that probably with Lorenzo Neal and Anthony Watts back, there's some leeway to take it slow with Bryce Austin. So those are kind of the guys on defense. On offense, again, you really never really want to play freshman offensive linemen. It's not ideal. Kid has to be special to come in right away, or you have to be desperate for it to happen. And but I think Gus Hartwig, you know, is a good prospect, a guy who I would have to think projects at center for Purdue. Having seen him play a couple times in high school, he looks like a center to me. I don't know if I can define what I think a center looks like, but he's it. he was here in the spring for whatever that was worth, because spring got cut short. If you have to play a freshman on the offensive line, perhaps Gus Hardwick gets in that mix. You'd prefer not to, obviously, because it's really hard. But Gus Hardwick could potentially be that guy. That's just the true freshman. I think the true freshman probably take a little bit of a back seat this year relative to what's the role they've been able to play collectively the past couple of years, because I think last year's recruiting class, a lot of really promising guys are coming out of redshirt on top of all the guys who played right away and are back as sophomores. So there's not a clearing out necessarily for true freshmen to step into. I think of the redshirt freshmen, I think Purdue's got some really promising guys coming out of redshirt, some really promising guys. And I think the two that come to mind first and foremost for me are Kyle Bilodeau and Garrett Miller at tight end. Both of those guys, I've said it before, I'll say it again, look the part unlike any tight end I think Purdue signed since Bryson Hopkins. And I think both of those guys have a real chance, and they will have a real opportunity because that position opens up quite a bit with Bryson Hopkins gone. Cam Craig, at the end of the year, played against Indiana. He was part of a pretty big offensive line class last year, and to hear the coaching staff having talked about it, he was ahead of everybody else. And, you know, he might have an opportunity to not only play next season as a redshirt freshman, maybe to be a starter. It's hard as a young player on the offensive line. It always is. It never fails. But he might be the guy among the young offensive linemen coming out of redshirt to be the guy who contributes the most. Seems like the coaching staff loves him. We will see what level he's ready to produce at. But he will get the opportunity. Again, the wide receivers, TJ Sheffield and Mershon Rice, both come out of redshirt, both pretty promising guys. From what I can tell, both got hurt last season, as did damn near everybody else on the roster, it felt like. Keep them in mind. Marvin Grant, the safety who comes out of redshirt after having shoulder surgery last year. Don't necessarily know what to expect from him. Obviously, there's an opportunity at safety, provided he's ready to move into a role where he can contribute, provided he's healthy. Tyler Coyle obviously gives Purdue a one-year stopgap at safety. I think Cam Allen is going to be a very good player. Brennan Thieneman's back, obviously. Simeon Smiley's back, obviously. You have options back there, but Marvin Grant could have an opportunity to earn a little bit of a role. Guy has a linebacker body type, too, so you never know. Dante Hunter, also a guy, first man off the bus type of guy from a physical perspective. Came here as a defensive end. I think Purdue might be tinkering with him a little bit as a stand-up sort of hybrid end sort of linebacker. Who knows? Again, I don't know enough about this 3-4 and what they're doing to really credibly talk about where he might fit in. But he might be a guy, too, to keep an eye on. Those long, athletic, sleek pass rushers nowadays are such an important part of college football if you can get them. And we will see where he kind of fits in. From here. But also, I think, you know, Purdue's freshmen may not have to contribute this season as much because Purdue has some older guys coming in as transfers, too. It's more about newcomers now than it is freshmen, combining the true freshmen, the redshirt freshmen, and the fifth-year Band-Aid getting put on some positions. Tyler Coyle at safety, obviously, is a guy who I'd imagine Purdue would not have recruited if it didn't expect him to come in and potentially start for them. Had a very good year at UConn last year, even though UConn wasn't very good. Guy who's physically mature, experienced, has a little bit of background with Bob Diaco and Anthony Poindexter, being that they were there during his redshirt year at Connecticut. Greg Long, who has indicated that he's committed to Purdue as an offensive tackle. Obviously, who knows, he has a pretty extensive injury history. We will see what he looks like when he gets to Purdue and what level of potential he may have to contribute right away. Austin Burton, the quarterback, again, we've talked ad nauseum. He's going to come in here presumably in the summer with a whole offense to learn. Going to be very difficult probably for him to grasp all of that right away, but he will certainly have the opportunity to throw his name into Purdue's quarterback competition. So the three older guys, too, coming in. But more importantly than them, as importantly as them is are the two junior college players, DeMarcus Mitchell at linebacker and Giovante Howard at cornerback, two critically important players for Purdue at critically important positions. Purdue is really thin at linebacker. That's where Mitchell fits in. Purdue really could use an impact level corner. That's where Giovante Howard comes in. Those two guys, as much as any of these freshmen I just listed, are critically important for Purdue, and I should have mentioned them sooner, long before my I talked so long that my computer screen actually went to sleep on me. So, you know, next year might not be about freshmen, true freshmen, as the past couple seasons were. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it will be every bit as impacted by newcomers as any season probably before before this one. So that's kind of what I got. I meant to talk about freshmen. I talked about a hell of a lot more than that, and I talked for a hell of a lot longer than I anticipated. So I apologize for my long-windedness. Hopefully you stuck with me. If you didn't, can't say I blame you. So that's what I got for today, Tuesday, May, whatever the hell the date is, May 12th. So thanks, everybody. I appreciate it. This has been your GoldenBlack.com Daily Quarantine Simulcast. Once again, brought to you by Fobbs Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. East End Grill, 6th Street Dive, Arnie's, Bruno's, the Whitaker Inn, all open for carryout. All would love to hear from you. And if you are looking for a hell of a dinner, please keep them in mind. Thanks, everybody. Take care.